Tonight, we are continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book of Proverbs. There are three books in the Bible. Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes are considered the wisdom books. And we've done a lot of studies. We're just about finished with that. So we've looked at what is a proverb and how are they presented, like the parallelism and how we are to relate to them, and what topics they cover. And I said they pretty much cover all of life. There's some proverb about almost everything that we do. But we need to remember that the proverbs in the book of Proverbs are God's truth. And there are multiple proverbs that we use all the time. And so I was going to ask if anybody had any favorite proverbs that their moms used to repeat to them all the time. Anybody have anything?
I really like Proverbs 31.
Okay. I'm thinking about the a penny saved is a penny earned or something. Those kind of proverbs.
Well, that kind of
stuff. Yeah. You didn't your anybody? Actually, I went to two wrongs don't make a right. Has anybody heard that one before?
I was thinking of the book.
I'm thinking about just the general problem that we throw around all the time. Okay, and we don't think that they're a proverb, but that is what a proverb is: a pithy statement, in general, stating a general truth or a piece of advice. Okay, and I was just going to relate the fact that these proverbs are man's ideas, the ones I have written down here, versus these proverbs are God's. Okay, the pen is mightier than the sword. Okay, actually, two wrongs don't make a right. I always thought the two wrongs were like if I did two wrongs, then I made the other one right. It doesn't mean that. It means when someone has done something bad to you, trying to get revenge will only make matters worse.
Yeah.
That's how that is interpreted. I didn't realize that. I was thinking, me doing two wrongs doesn't make whatever I did wrong, right? Okay. I'll start one and see if you have the squeaky wheel.
Gets the grease.
Gets the grease. Okay. What does that mean?
If you see a problem, or if you have a problem, and it's kind of, if you talk about it or tell a person about it, and instead of being quiet, then you get thick.
Okay.
Because I would.
Okay, you get better service if you complain about something. If you wait patiently, no one's going to help you. That's what that means. But then you get down further the list of the problems, and it says, good things come to those who wait. Now, see, look at how they contradict each other. That's another proverb. You all have heard it, don't you? Haven't you ever said that to your kids? Good things come to those who wait. Okay. No man is
an island.
Okay. Fortune favors the bold. I didn't know that one. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Bad things will come. Just be prepared, it says. Better late
than never.
Never. Birds of a
feather flock together.
Okay. And actually, a lot of the things in Proverbs talks about don't go with those people and don't associate with. And, you know, so there's a little truth in some of the, you know, that, but then there's some are, you know, so way off as far as the Lord says. God helps those who help themselves. You think that's biblical?
No.
Okay. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You know what that means? You haven't heard that one? Okay. Well, if you know you have an enemy, and actually, in a work situation, I knew that someone that did not get along with me, I made sure that I sat by that person, I talked to that person. You know, if they're going to do something against you, they're going to be less likely to do it if you're right there, you know, versus, you know. So it's, in other words, Keep your eye on your enemies so that they can't surprise you with something. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You don't get that. Discretion is the greater part of valor.
Okay. Yeah.
So sometimes it's and when you have discretion, some things it's better to step back from something than to go forward. You're more respected if you use discretion and that. Those some of them. So there's hundreds of them. But anyway, it was real interesting. That was a website for people to learn English and about the English language. So they used that as a way of teaching English and sayings that we might use that might, be somewhat misunderstood or something. But anyway, it was interesting. So though there are proverbs all over the world. People use proverbs for a variety of things. But they're pithy little statements. But our proverbs that we're studying are from the Lord. Okay. And Proverbs 1:7, the first part of that proverb, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that to fear the Lord doesn't mean to be afraid of the Lord, but to reverence the Lord and to know him and to be obedient to him. The goal in studying the Proverbs is that we as believers may learn to make decisions that are pleasing to God. And I think Chris had used this quote from this book, "Godly wisdom is the ability to see all of life from God's point of view and to know how to respond accordingly." So that's why we've been studying Proverbs. Okay, tonight our lesson is about relationships within the family. And there were three proverbs at the beginning of the chapter that Goldberg had written out. One was Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and above and his children will have refuge. So he used that to say that in a family where the Lord is feared or reverenced in the home, that it is that home is a refuge for those children. So we need to think of that when you're looking at raising children or building your home. Proverbs 31:10 is well known. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. And also there's another proverb for who can, an excellent wife is a gift from the Lord. Okay. And then Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. And so we're going to look at some proverbs again about the wise, how the wise son affects the parents and how the foolish son affects the parents. We'll look at that. The family, then, is the smallest unit of society, and the family is established by God. It's a major topical study in Proverbs pertains to what is desirable for the best possible relationships within the family, the smallest unit of society. Therefore, wisdom desires to give guidance to everyone within this unit, within the family. While the family in our society is in trouble, you look at the families around us, and many clergymen, social workers, psychologists are seeking for answers, the book of Proverbs, even though written 3,000 years ago, remains an up-to-date authority with basic advice on how to stabilize the family. If these instructions are followed, parents and children will be encouraged to know the Lord, serve him, and as a result, serve society with the greatest capacities of usefulness. Okay, that's a quote from Goldberg's book. Okay. The norm of the family is one husband and one wife. Let's look at Genesis 2, 23 and 24. So, do you have it, Mabel?
Yes.
Okay.
The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
Okay. This relationship, marriage relationship, is a covenant relationship between the three, the husband, the wife, and God. And marriage was established by the Lord in this fashion. And you can just see what our society has done. Turned it, what is right is wrong, and what's wrong is right, okay, is what we are seeing happening in our country. In Hebrews 13:4 it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. So any defilement of the marriage covenant has a severe penalty in all of Scripture. Adultery, fornication, anything outside of that marriage relationship. Frequently, death is the penalty, particularly in the Old Testament. So that covenant relationship is very important, and that is the basis for society. When families fall apart, society falls apart. Okay. In Proverbs 5:15, just some Proverbs that speak to the importance of that relationship and how that relationship should be honored. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. In other words, maintain that covenant relationship between the husband and wife. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. In verse 18, verse 19, as a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. And the wife who commits adultery is described in Proverbs 2:17, that if she leaves the companion of her youth, she has forgotten her covenant with God. Okay. Then it talks about the wise woman in Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. And Proverbs 31:11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. These relate to the fact that the wife is a very important part of that family relationship in building that home, and that the home is her realm, as described in Proverbs 31. So we need to be aware of that as women. Primarily, if you are married, that the home and your children is your realm. Now, God has, for some of us in this room, we haven't had that marriage relationship, but we still are to serve the Lord in wherever the Lord has us at this time. Okay. Proverb identified the family as a pivotal for society. Mainly, if you look at the fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. This is the only commandment that has so that something might happen to you, so that you will have long days. And that is repeated then in Ephesians 6:1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So again, that's a instruction to the father. And in the home, in much of Scripture speaks to the father doing the discipline and teaching, but the mother is a part of that unit, and she supports the father, but she's also the one in the home that's doing the day-to-day things, don't lie, don't hit your sister, all those things that you have to deal with. It's really interesting. And every child has their own personality. And so how you treat one child will work with that child, but it may not work with the second child. You have to treat them differently. You have to get to know your children in that regard. Okay. Everyone, and it says, what happens to those children who do not honor their father and mother. In Deuteronomy 27:16, it says, cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. And all the people shall say amen. So, and there I have in Leviticus, in Ezekiel 21:15, it says, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. So that honoring your parent is obviously very important. Okay. What are the responsibilities of the father or the parents? Let's look at Deuteronomy 6:1-7. Instructions from God on teaching his truths in the family. Okay. Do you have that, Amy? Okay, could you read that? Thank you.
Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going to possess over it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, in the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart.
And verse 7.
Okay. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Okay. A couple of things that I underlined as you were reading that is, again, that you, your son, your grandson might fear the Lord. Okay, and then you will teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. All the time, you're teaching God's principles to your children. Okay. And then let's look at Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. Again, this is the father teaching God's truth. Someone have that? You want to read it? Okay.
Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.
Okay. Again, do not abandon my instructions. Gain understanding. I give you sound teaching. You taught me, let your heart hold fast. So again, the heart, the most, you know, you can know it up here, but if you don't know it in your heart, you're not going to do it. And that both of these speak to truly understanding and knowing God and wanting to obey him from the heart. Okay. Children then, in general, are a blessing of the Lord. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. And Proverbs 13:22a says, a good man, and that is the one who is moral and upright, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And in the book it talked that the most important inheritance, we're not talking money, we're talking a good name. A good, moral person, you know, truthful, honest, dependable. That's the inheritance that a good man will leave for his children, okay? The fear of the Lord is important in family relationships. And that, again, we're repeating Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. So a home that fears the Lord, there is confidence in the Lord, and there, it will be a refuge for the children. In Proverbs 20:11, it says, it is by his deeds that a lad, and that the term lad there is a teenager, distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. Yeah. No matter who we're talking about in Proverbs, your conduct speaks to who, what your character is, and including the teenager. Okay. And in Proverbs 23:24-25, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. So again, that would be the wise child who is has learned the lessons taught in the family. Okay. The father, through loving instructions, is to discipline his children. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And we'll look at Hebrews also speaks to that. If a child learns early his boundaries, he will grow up to enjoy the greatest freedom. Now, think about that. If he knows his boundaries, he will grow up to enjoy his greatest freedom. He will learn to avoid pitfalls of life, its immoralities and vices. They will not become enslaved to bad habits. They will be free to choose the ways of the Lord. Okay, I can remember, you know, it's so hard as a teenager. I can remember going to my mom, because if she didn't know the answer, then she would send me to dad. But anyway, or if she didn't say what I wanted, I'd go to dad. But anyway, I can remember my friends wanting to do something, and I wasn't strong enough to say no, but I knew it wasn't right. And so I'd go to my mom, and I would pray, Mom, please say no, because then you can be the bad guy. My mom won't let me, because you really need to stand up for what's right with your kids and set the boundaries for them, so that they know that you stand behind them and that you'll help them to do the right thing. I can remember in my mind several times, several instances, and my mom was good. She said no, and so it's just it's really, you know. So sometimes you think, my friends are doing all kinds of excuses kids will use. All my friends are doing it. So on and so forth. But as parents, or aunts, or grandmas, we have to, do what's right with our children and discipline them. And discipline doesn't mean always saying no. Discipline means teaching them the right way and how to think about something. And So by setting boundaries, we do actually set our children free. Okay, working with children in the school system, you see kids who don't have any boundaries, and they are the most unhappy children ever. Because they don't. And I actually, as a single parent, I traveled in a job that I had, and so Jason was with the babysitter, I'd come back after 2 or 3 days, and I had to reset the rules every single time I came back in the house. He would test to see if the rules were the same. And I had to deliberately, I never brought him a gift when I traveled, and I never brought him, because I never wanted him to expect me to be bringing him something all the time. So it's you just have to think about your behavior and what you're doing when you're around children. I work in the nursery now. The little kids are just starting to walk, and we give them vanilla wafers and for a snack, but they have to sit down on their bottoms and stay there in order to eat them. So if they get up, we take the cracker away. They don't necessarily like it, but they'll sit back down, and after the second time they're in there, they sit down and they stay sat down. It's amazing. It's amazing. Another thing that at that age, frequently they will have a sippy cup. And my rule is that when they want a drink, they can have a drink anytime they want, but they can't carry it around with them. They can come and I'll give it to them. They have to sit down, they drink, I put it away, and then they can go and play. Because you don't think about this, because it's so easy to give them a sippy cup, and they're not sprinkling milk all over the rug. Well, they do a little, but you stop and think, what are you teaching your child when they have a sippy cup at right there? You're teaching instant gratification. Did you ever think of that? Whatever you want, you get right that very moment. And I think, they can sit down and have a drink, and then they can go and play. So just little things you don't even think about. And that's a way of disciplining your children, by just teaching them good habits is another way of loving your children in a way that they set the boundaries. And then when they go to grandma's house, they're not going to spill milk on her nice, newly cleaned white couch. If grandma has a white couch that's newly cleaned. At my house, there is no such thing. But anyway, that's just so that you don't have to worry about what their behavior is going to be like at somebody's house. They know how to behave. Okay, let's see. This says, Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you. And this is a command. By wisdom, that is a command for the child to listen to the father who begot you. Wisdom gently reminds the son and daughter not to turn from good advice. In Proverbs 19:27, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. So, And Proverbs 23:19, listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Again, direct your heart. It's not just the head knowledge, okay? And 23:26 says, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Proverbs, then, let's look at some Proverbs that contrast the blessing and grief brought to parents of the wise or the foolish son. And these will just break your heart. Some of them. God places the highest priority on the son or daughter who is wise, not in mere intellectual knowledge, but on the moral grasp wisdom provides. No matter what vocation one follows in life, a godly moral standard needs to be exercised that will impact society on its many levels. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And we've talked in previous lessons about what the wise person and the foolish person. The wise is the believer, the foolish is the unbeliever in terms of Christianity. 15:20 says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Yeah, we would not, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. But you think about it, if you don't do what your mom says, you have no respect for her. Through example and loving discipline, the father has to teach his son and daughter the right way. Again, through example and loving discipline, the father has to teach his son and daughter the right way. In 17:25, it says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to him who bore her. And 19:13 says, a foolish son is destruction to his father. Wayward children can leave parents feeling empty. In 19:26, it says, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. And I saw that in schools. I saw children beating up on their parents physically. So when a child does not have discipline in the home, it is disgraceful and shameful. In 27:7 it says, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. So grief, humiliation, destruction, shame for those children who refuse to obey and to follow the father and mother's teachings. Okay. Then, the rod in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And you can see that. And my son took Eva to a birthday party for my son's friend's son's seventh birthday party. Eighth birthday party, Sunday afternoon. And he said, it was a zoo. They were at a park, and he said, all the little boys, whatever the prize was, they were having contests, and they didn't want the prize they got. They wanted the prize the other kid got, and they were arguing and crying and fussing. And he said, Eva just took what she won, and that was fine with her. You know, it was just... You just really have to, of course, Jason wouldn't discipline, but they didn't seem to discipline those kids from how he said it. He said it was the whole time they were arguing. Nobody was happy with what they got. They got something. Be happy. I mean, you know, it's just, you really have to teach your children how to be happy and to be respectful of other people's things. Let's look at some Proverbs then that address child training. Permissiveness has bred a generation of lawbreakers. Two sets of discipline are described, one of general application to the son or daughter and the other specifically for teenagers. And just one of the verses speaks just to teens. Okay, training the son or daughter in Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The rod, generally, we think of as being... something to spank somebody with. But it doesn't have to be. You know, just the rules but physical discipline does help, particularly little ones. They, you know, and it doesn't, it it hurts for the moment. I can remember my older brothers saying how they would take magazines and stuff it in their britches when they knew that Daddy was going to give them a whipping. But anyway, you know, that they, you know, and he, she said they thought he never knew, but I'm sure he knew. But they were well behaved and they grew up to be really good men. So anyway, we have people, and I've witnessed children who have no discipline. They parents want to be friends, and they want don't say, and they never use the word no. I can remember one time shopping at 8:30 in the evening in an office, like Office Depot. You know, you go and it's office supplies. There was a father with three children, one not in school yet, and the others probably both elementary, upper. And they went through the checkout. They were buying a desk chair, okay? But they each got a package of cookies at 8:30 in the evening in an Office Depot. Why would you do that to children? You know, they were used to getting something every time they went in a store, obviously. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. Why would you do that to children? Yeah. But anyway, people do it. They can't say no. Wisdom directs that the training process should begin early in life. In 17:3, it says, "The servant who acts wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share in the inheritance among brothers." And in biblical times, sometimes the servants did live with the family and did actually, if the children were worthless, the servant got the inheritance, and that can happen. You know, so just because you're physically related to someone doesn't mean that you get it. The father who loves his children disciplines for their good. In 19:18, it says, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death," because disobedient children were to be killed if they were out of control. That's how they were to control them. Okay, and it says while there is hope, while they are young, that's when they are the most. It's like a tree that if it's been there and it's done its thing for 30 years, you're not going to move it. But if it's you just planted it and it's starting to grow this way, you can pull it this way and put in a stake and let it grow straight. So while they're still young and malleable and to discipline them. In 29:7, it says, "Correct or discipline your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul." And then let's look at Hebrews 12, 4-11, and look what the Lord says about discipline. This is what he said too, but let's look at how he disciplines us. Hebrews 12, 4-11, if someone gets to that, they can read that for us. Okay, Meryl.
Mm-hmm. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Okay. So discipline is for our good, even as adults and for our children. Okay. The the verse that we see, that we say a lot about child training is verse 22:6 of Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that the term child here is the Hebrew term that would generally be used for a teenager. All the others were for children of all ages. This training is it can be mean to dedicate or make experienced, and it is a command to train. So, in other words, as like I said with my mom and my wanting her to say no, so I wouldn't have to be the bad guy. But to help us to learn to say no on our own, to train children. Training means, like when you go to a training school, nursing school used to be a training school, where you practice what you're going to be doing. You know, if you're going to be taking temperatures, you practice taking temperatures. If you're going to be making decisions, you practice making decisions as a teenager. And one of the things let's see if I can find that paper. I had, it says, okay, here, this one says, "Some parents are funny. They refuse to give a child the keys to the car because they feel he is not mature enough to make the proper decisions imperative to safe driving. Yet, they refuse to direct the religious life of the child because they say he should arrive at his own conclusions." Yeah, we are to help them think it through and practice it and think about it and to see what the Lord has, what's good. The teen needs his father's guidance as much as a toddler, and that is so true. Again, as a single mom, when my son was up in started middle school, I actually changed jobs so I would be home more, because even though he was not home that much, I mean, but he needed to know that I was there and I was checking on him, and if he didn't come home on time, I would come and get him. If I had been working, which my job was going to require me to do some evening work, I would not have been there. He could have done anything he wanted, any place in town. And so he needed me more to be available to him than a toddler did, you know? I mean, that it's so true, and parents tend to forget that teens need to be trained and worked with and talked to and not left on their own as much as these little ones. And just remember that, okay, when you're looking and talking, because children, you know, it takes a long time to grow up and to be making the right decisions, okay. Says this statement, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This statement is given as a general truth, as all are. It's not a guarantee, but it's generally that is what will happen. Again, all that God asks is that parents be faithful in accordance with the teaching of scriptures. And remember, verse 22:15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." So remember, we all are sinners. Our children are sinners. Even though they're so cute. Their sins are cute.
Oh, really?
But they become uncute real fast. And, okay. Said, "Even the best training is no guarantee that wisdom will be instilled in every child. The rebellious son or daughter will bear the judgment of their behavior. They will be held responsible for their choice to do evil and abandon the teaching of their parents. However, the faithful parent may live to see the Lord bring their son or daughter to himself after passing through many trials and sorrows." Parents need the wisdom of God to train their children during the years they have them. Okay. You have any questions or anything else that about child raising?
It's really sad, though. Even as adults, you see some that were not disciplined.
Oh, yeah.
And their mother's yeah. still taking care of them, and the mom's 80-some, and the child's 60-some, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always said, you know, if your parents don't discipline you, then the police will help when they get old enough to
see that.
Have to have yeah. some direction.
Yeah, yeah. And I had another, this was from, it says, When Woodrow Wilson was president of Princeton University, he spoke these words to a parents' group. I get many letters from you parents about your children. You want to know why we people up here in Princeton, and these are college kids, can't make more out of them and do more for them. Let me tell you the reason we can't. It may shock you just a little, but I am not trying to be rude. The reason is that they are your sons, reared in your homes, blood of your blood, bone of your bone. They have absorbed the ideals of your homes. You have formed and fashioned them. They are your sons. In those malleable, moldable years of their lives, you have forever left your imprint upon them. So, can't give it to somebody else to train your children and to take care of them. But again, love them. And love disciplines. Love does not allow children to be in control. Because children don't have... children want to be in control. They think they know, but they don't. And even as teens, again, you have to try that a little at a time. You know, give them a little bit of space in as safe as an environment as possible. But you've raised teens, but as a kid, he's not a believer. As you know, I pray for him, but he's a good, is a fairly moral son. But anyway, it is not easy. It's not easy, no guarantees. Anything else? That helps. Uh-huh. So, well, I'll close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your truths, and your truth was true when it was spoken and written. It's true today, and we just pray that each family who has children or family members who don't know you, that you will work on their hearts and that the Holy Spirit might draw them to yourself. And we just praise you for this time together and this fellowship and for your wisdom that you have given to us, if we will read it and take it to heart and truly reverence you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.